League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The Milwaukee Journal sent a Milwaukee Brewers podcast. The Milwaukee Brewers are 12 games over 500. They are at their high watermark yet again. They sweep the Colorado Rockies in their reopening day weekend series. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the podcast, and on the other line is Tom Haudricourt, Brewers beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He will be there on Monday as the Chicago Cubs come to town. This was supposed to be a clash for first place, but the Brewers have been playing so well, and the Cubs playing kind of poorly, losing their last three games of the week to fall three games behind the Brewers for first place in the National League Central. Brewers are in the midst of this crazy stretch, Tom, where now it's, I think, another 17 games in a row before they get to the All-Star break. They just had their first off day in 2.5 weeks, and they've soldiered through pretty nicely. They lost five in a row and started the week with a loss. That was the fifth, and since then, things are moving along pretty swimmingly. They've won 7 of 8 now as we head into this Cubs series. I don't know if what I expected out of the Brewers in this stretch, but I have to think they feel like this is a best case scenario. They've kind of weathered that brief period where things weren't going well, and now it seems like everything's clicking once again.
Yeah, I wonder, JR, if we'll look back on that Friday night game in that Saturday night game in Colorado, where they were a couple outs away from losing their sixth game in a row. They had been swept by the Reds at home and then lost the first two games at Coors Field. And we're losing in the ninth inning. And then, Willie Adames hits that home run and they win. And then they pull out a ninth inning win the next day. Then they go to Arizona and take 2 out of 3 and then come home, get to play the Rockies the Rockies on the road are just ridiculously bad. They have 6 wins for the season. And so it's like that one, when you look back on the season, there's like certain, benchmark games. And that pulling that game out in Colorado, I just think it allowed them to exhale a little bit. And, they've done some good work late in innings. Their offense is a very interesting offense. They often struggle against the starting pitcher for the other team. And that was the case again Sunday. But then they often rough up the relievers, which makes you appreciate how good the Brewers bullpen has been, because other teams don't do that to them very often.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that game, Milwaukee Bucks right now are top of mind. They took a 2-1 series lead on Sunday in their series. That game where Willie Adames hits that home run is after the Bucks beat the Nets in Game 7. That was a huge Milwaukee sports night. It's like the inverse of draft night when Aaron Rodgers said he wasn't coming back. The Bucks lost to the last place Rockets, and Corbin Burns was announced to be out in the health and safety protocol. Like it's total right. Flip there.
And it allowed me, if I can interject, it allowed me afterward to ask my best trolling Zoom question ever when Craig Counsell sat down and I said, how does it feel to have the second most exciting victory tonight on the Milwaukee sports scene?
It's true. They were excited for the Bucks, though.
He laughed. You can only say stuff like that after a team wins.
Yeah, it's true. And again, I said it was the fifth in a row when they opened the week. That's not true. They won the 2 in Colorado. And then the Diamondbacks 17-game losing streak ends with the Brewers, in town on Monday, and you think, oh, great, the Brewers are going to, slump back maybe a little bit. But then they win the next two games in that series leading into this Colorado sweep. And one of the big stories, I guess, is Keston Hira. Dan Vogelbach got hurt in one of those Arizona games, limped home, actually, kind of amazing that he scored on this play, and is going to be out a minimum of 6 weeks. And that's a pretty big loss. The Brewers, the offense has been challenged this year. Vogelbach had really found something, I'd say, over the last 4 weeks or so and looked like he was going to be one of their top contributors. And it forces their hand to bring Keston Hira back up from AAA. That was sort of the problem the first time around. It seemed like maybe they brought him up too soon. But right. Here, Here he looks good. He has the game-winning sacrifice fly in the series opener against Colorado on Friday, and then he's got a home run and a two-run double. He's got two home runs already since his return. Like, you know, four hits does not make a, oh, he's back narrative work. But on the other hand, when you're looking for any signs of life here, this is a really huge thing, I would think, for Keston Hiura.
Well, four hits, if they were all singles, might make you say we're not there yet. But when there's some home runs and doubles in there, you know, and then he got robbed on a great catch in right field in his final at bat Sunday. He would have had three hits. So just driving the ball, you know, his slugging was so bad his first time around. And then that's when they brought him back that first time, too. He just couldn't drive the ball, you know, and so he had more home runs over the weekend than he had all season. So just seeing some pop from him, because that's always what made him special. When he was a second baseman with pop, it's so hard to find pop at that position. That's what made him special. And then they moved him to first base, and you said, well, you still got to have pop there. That's another power position, and he didn't do it. But now he's going to get a chance to play every day. They're, you know, I wrote my Sunday column about their injuries, because the only thing that's more amazing about their record than their bad offense is the number of injuries they've had and bad ones. You know, they're missing their first baseman and their third baseman right now, Vogelbach and Shaw, and two left-handed sluggers, you know, so that changes their lineup. Left-handed power plays so well at American Family Field, and they've lost two guys for extended periods. But Urias, I think, has a 9 or 10-game hitting streak, the highest on the club this year, at playing at third base, and now Keston has a good weekend. So, you know, they have a chance to cover for this, but combine their underperforming offense with the number of serious injuries they've had this year, it's amazing they're 12 over .500.
Yeah, it really is. And it's not just those guys. Obviously, Lorenzo Cain has been out for a long period of time. Reading the tea leaves, I would guess they maybe hold him out till after the All-Star break, but I know their original target was early July. And then, you know, Colton Wong came back from an injury. Then he had to sit out Sunday after what I guess they hope is a cramp. So we're
they're hoping it's not, you know, anything bad. And I think he is truly day-to-day. We always laugh about that day-to-day thing because, you know, what isn't day-to-day? But I do think he is in a situation where he could play today, but maybe he won't, and then it would shift to tomorrow. I don't think we're looking at an extended period unless he has a setback. I saw him walking back and forth in the dugout Sunday. Generally, you don't do that if you have a bad leg. You know, they want you off of it, right? They want you like up in the clubhouse getting cheered. So the fact that he was, you know, in there pacing, looked like he really wanted to get in the game too. Matter of fact, he did. I think they might have hid his jersey from him. He was just wearing a t-shirt, you know. And one way to prevent a guy from going into a game unauthorized is to hide his uniform. But they're hoping it won't be long. He's such a key guy on their team for just so many reasons. Beyond his ridiculously good defense, he's a real igniter at top of the lineup. The day he got hurt, he had three hits, you know. And it seems like they play well when he's on base atop the lineup. And that's probably true of any team. Leadoff hitters are probably key for any team. But when they have so many guys in their lineup scuffling, it helps to have a leadoff hitter. And he's so aggressive in just everything he does. He aggressively defends. He aggressively runs the bases. He aggressively swings. I'll tell you one thing. He is not a good hitter for a pitcher to throw a first pitch, get it over fastball. That's just not a good plan with him because he's ready to swing.
Yeah, and he's even though he's had some injury scares, I guess, this season, every time he comes back, he's doing what you just said. He has three hits, and, you know, like he seems kind of immune to that rust that you'd be worried about when a guy has to miss some time. He's been really good.
He comes back ready to play, you know. So
yeah,
no, he's never gone on a minor league injury rehab assignment. They activate him, put him in, and he's ready to play.
Right. So one more injury. Brett Anderson was lost in that Monday game against the Diamondbacks with a knee ailment, and he's going to now He's on the IL for the second time this season. He'll miss a start. That leaves an opening in their schedule. The Brewers, like this six-man rotation approach. Their sixth guy, Eric Lauer, pitched extremely well on Sunday as the Brewers shut out the Rockies 5-0, so that's another encouraging sign. But there is a vacancy here Wednesday. In the thick of this Cubs series, the Brewers will have their big guns going. They'll have Freddie Peralta. They'll have Brandon Woodruff and Corbin Burns lined up to face the Cubs. But this Wednesday thing is still up in the air. Who are the candidates here? Who are the guys that you think might be fitting into this spot?
Yeah, that's a very good question. You know, that he could just go ahead and pitch Burns on regular rest and then just go into the break with a five-man instead of a six-man. But I don't think they want to do that. You know, how can we argue against the six-man when you look at where they are? They're 45 and 33. Does that sound right? 12 over,
yep,
right?
Yep.
And so how can you say that it's been wrong to have six pitchers? It's the reason they're in first place is they're pitching. And so, you know, the guy that finished the game yesterday is a stretched out pitcher, Ryan Weber. They might just go with a bullpen day that day and, you know, let him start and try to throw three, and then maybe Suter try to throw two or three and just do it that way. The danger in that is they're in this stretch without any off days. And so you gotta be careful how many bullpen guys you use in any one game. They could maybe, you know, Josh Lindblom's pitching great down in AAA, but he's not on the 40-man now, and that would necessitate a move there. So it'll be interesting to see if they do handle it internally or externally. But I think that what's going to tell them what they have to do is what happens Monday night and Tuesday night. You know, they literally do kind of wait and see and let the games that they've just played inform them as to what their next move should be.
Yeah, and I'm a dumb. I keep thinking this is a four-game series. Burns on Thursday would be lined up to face Pittsburgh in the first of four games out in Pittsburgh.
Now, having said that they might like to go day-to-day, they do play a day game Wednesday. So if you're going to allow Tuesday night's game to inform you on your Wednesday assignment, you don't got a lot of time to get it all put back together, you know?
It's true, Yeah, I could definitely see Lindblom entering the picture at some point here. They've had no, you know, they haven't been shy about rotating relievers in and out. We've seen Miguel Sanchez. We've seen Jake Cousins, who you wrote about. Really cool story, Jake Cousins is coming out of independent ball. And Ryan Weber's another one. I mean, as you've written about these guys and seen these guys, what jumps out at you? I mean, these are guys that, quite honestly, really diehard Brewers fans were not following, had not heard of before the season, and now they've all pitched in a Brewers uniform, and they've acquitted themselves very well, particularly Cousins, my goodness.
I know. You say to yourself, how does this happen? How does a guy show up throwing 97 with just a wicked slider? Well, that's why I wrote his story. It's very interesting how it happened. You know, and he got hurt, got released by the Nationals, had to played for the Schaumburg Boomers.
Yes.
That's where the Brewers saw him. You know, to their credit, they like scout everybody, you know, and a lot of it's video scouting, not necessarily a human being in the stands, eyes on, but they scout everybody. And this guy almost quit that year. He had a kind of a messed up arm. His wife said, no, don't go out that way. You don't want to go out that way. His mom was an orthopedic secretary who knew some really good doctors. So he got some help from his family and encouragement. And the Brewers call him up. I got to believe that's the shortest phone call in the history of phone calls. When the Brewers called him up during the Frontier League All-Star break in 2019, he was vacationing in Minnesota with some family, and they said, would you like to sign with us?
Sure.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I would, yes. I like the Ryan Weber story. The Brewers were trying to call him to tell him he had been claimed by them from the Red Sox, but he was on vacation with his wife, I think up in Nantucket, and didn't have good cell service, and they couldn't get through to him. And he had to take a ferry. You know, it's interesting how the mode of transportation some players have to take to join a team. Well, his first one was on a ferry.
That's wild. Yeah.
Great stories. So, you know, they already had some really nice pieces and people in their bullpen, and people, you know, there's a lot of angst about trading Fireisen and Rasmussen in the Adames trade. But I think that angst has subsided for two reasons. Adames has made a ridiculously big impact on the team. And then they've been able to fill with these guys. You know, Miguel Sanchez, another interesting story. He's signing, most of those international signings are when they're 16. He signed when he was 22. He was actually in the military service in the Dominican. And so he was an older player, and he's just getting to the big leagues at age 27 or 28. And kind of the same thing with Cousins, too. They're, late 20s, not early 20s. But who cares? If you pitch. And Sanchez has pretty good stuff, too. And he's a guy who's had to prove at every level that he could get guys out. It's nothing's been given to him. So these are interesting guys. And, can they keep it up over time? Who knows? They've only pitched a couple of outings each. But, first impressions often mean something. And their first impressions have been really good. I'll tell you right now, Cousins, if he can throw 97 with that slider he's got, right-handed hitters are not going to hit him.
Yeah, I think he could be here for the long haul. So Schaumburg Boomer, Chicago Dogs, the Dominican military service. And remember, they got, Justin Topa. They really thought they had something with him before he got injured. I mean, he
Yeah,
could
he
have been
was
a
an
big part of this football.
independent league guy. It shows you that you have to look everywhere. Sometimes a guy just needs a chance. So many of those guys end up in independent ball because they got hurt, and they couldn't pitch anymore. And so people just they kind of fell. They lost their place in line, And also, he's a Ivy League graduate too. He has a triple major degree from Penn. So now they have Suter and Cousins in the bullpen. This is the smartest bullpen in America.
Yeah, and Suter had two good innings. He's not been as sharp as we've seen in past years, but he's still showing some signs in that Rockies series. You mentioned the Adames home run or Adames in general. He's been ridiculous. He's batting cleanup for them, and you don't even have to bat an eye. This is a shortstop that was hitting just above 200 when they got him, and now he's you bat him cleanup on Sunday. Of course you do. But he hits the home run on reopening day on Friday to tie the game. The Brewers go on to win that game down 4-0. Just a really huge uplifting win for the Brewers. Attendance is still probably not where I imagine the Brewers want it to be. You're talking 31,000 for that game, 32,000 for Saturday when I think you even wrote about, or Todd Rosiak, forgive me, I don't remember for sure, the 6-run eighth where things really got blown open in that game. Very loud inside of American Family Field, very hot under the closed roof, but definitely felt like a regular baseball game again. And then Sunday it's down again. So it's a kind of an interesting pattern, I guess.
Yeah, well, they didn't have a lot of time to sell those tickets. People had already made vacation plans. They've been trying to reseat their season ticket holders in their original seats. There's been a lot of moving parts with their attendance, so they thought it would be a little bit of a slower roll up. Let's see what we got going here the next three games when the Chicago fans are involved. Their team's been on the road. So if they want to see them, they can drive up here. I'm guessing there's a lot of late sales for these games to people south of the border. And the Brewers aren't going to ask any questions. And it wouldn't even feel like a Cubs game if a bunch of their fans didn't come up and annoy the Brewer fans.
You're totally right. And I think group sales haven't quite gotten going for the Brewers either. So I think
Yeah,
there's
that's all of that, because all of that stuff used to be done in February.
Right.
So they're scrambling and But I'll tell you one thing, 32 beats the heck out of 15, which is kind of where they were for a while. The thousand, not percent.
Oh, yeah.
32, and they were loud on Saturday. That was me who wrote that story. But that was when they, especially the Yelich home run. I mean, I wrote that was the first home run he hit at home in front of a big crowd since September 6, 2019.
Yeah.
So he got hurt shortly afterward. Then there was no fans last year. So that and he talked a lot about it, just about how great it was with the adrenaline. He's always been a player, I think, that's fed off the crowd in Milwaukee, and they've always been so supportive of him and backed him so much. So if they could get him going on the power front, their offense would really pick up.
It's kind of these little things that are really hallmarks for me. The Yelich home run was a big moment. But Omar Narvaez, who hits the game a go-ahead sac fly, you had people getting to their feet during that at bat. That's the type of thing you're sort of missing with these half-filled houses. You just don't have that sort of energy, that sort of anticipatory energy. So that was sort of for me a sign like, okay, this is a different experience here on
Yes,
Saturday.
no question. And so I think it's and fans are getting to jump in right at the right time. I mean, good luck selling tickets in Pittsburgh.
That will still be a half-filled venue for sure. I do think by the time the end of the season rolls around, if the Brewers are still in this spot, you're going to see pretty full stadiums at American Family Field in September and beyond if the Brewers are playing that long.
Also a divided attention now with the Bucks. Mm-hmm. Now, so far they haven't played at the same time, but they will to Tuesday night. You know,
yeah,
and rightfully, the only thing that exceeds the crowd in Fiserv Forum is the crowd outside of Fiserv Forum. So, I mean, they're really on to something there, where you know they have huge crowds inside. Can you imagine if the Brewers had a full house inside and also like 15,000 more out in the parking lots?
Yeah. Sometimes it feels that way. Those people all have tickets to the game and they're rolling in late. But yes, one of the smartest things the Bucks and the various leaders did was build up that Deer District area right in front of the stadium, because it has shown out. It was certainly the case in 2019 and now again here.
It's a gold mine. They're mining gold there.
It's true. One of the pitchers the Brewers are going to see in this series is Zach Davies, former Brewers pitcher. He was part of that trade that brought Eric Lauer and Luis Arias to Milwaukee from San Diego. He's now a Cub. And he threw six innings of a no-hitter against the Dodgers in L.A. And L.A., of course, wins the next three games. But it's just, Tom, I know I keep coming back to no-hitters.
How do the Dodgers get no-hit?
I don't know. In L.A., in their home stadium, I don't know. Especially, no offense to Zach Davies, but that guy, he's not a strikeout pitcher. I mean, he gets his fair share of strikeouts considering his repertoire.
He's a pitch-to-contact guy, you know? And then I think three relievers, too, mm-hmm. right? It's four guys.
Tapera, Chafin,
and thank God they did it. We had gone like 2 or 3 weeks without a no-hitter. I mean, people were panicking.
That's my thing. When the Brewers have to have one soon, they have pitchers who are capable of throwing no hitters. I want my no hitter, Tom. This is taking forever. Everyone else gets one.
Well, they have a lineup that's capable of being no hit too. So yes. You wonder which way it's going to go. That we've had some matchups where both their pitcher and the other pitcher have been throwing no hitters deep in the games. It started the very first day with Corbin Burns in Minnesota, you know? So, yeah, well, the thing with them, JR, is will a Brewers pitcher be able to go 9 innings? You know, they might have to pitch a no-hitter the way the Cubs just did with 4 different guys, because the way they're protecting their starting pitchers, I'm not sure they'll allow them to throw the number of pitches it takes to throw a complete game no-hitter. We'll see. But, they finally have a staff that there's some candidates in there to throw on. And you know, Freddie Peralta, who's starting the opening game against the Cubs Monday night, I think he has like 3 or 4 outings where he only allowed one hit and pitched at least 5 or 6 innings. He's had, I don't know how many people, because Woodruff and Burns got a lot of the early love, I don't know how many people realize what a great season Freddie Peralta's having. He's having a great season. It's a great season he's having. Look at his numbers. They're crazy good.
Yeah, he's been as dominant as anybody on that staff, and you're right. I mean, three stretches, two of those games did end up as one-hitters. The third one, Hunter Strickland, allowed a single. I believe that ended up as a two-hitter. But you know what? I don't care. 7 innings of Freddie Peralta or Brandon Woodruff, maybe an inning of Devin Williams where he walks a couple guys but still gets through it, and then Josh Hader, because Josh Hader if it's in the 9th inning as a no-hitter, I'm pretty comfortable the Brewers are going to get it with Hader, you know, finishing out the back end of the bullpen. He's been awesome.
You couldn't have a better guy if you've got a no-hitter going into the ninth, guy that you think will probably not give up a hit. I mean, he's one of a kind. He's another guy. I know people say, how much can you say about Josh Hader? Well, how can you say too much about him? I mean, he's having another ridiculously good season. I mean, it's when you look at how many bullpens the Brewers have blown up in the last couple of weeks, no one ever blows him up. You know, he's going to blow a game here. He's a human being. He's not a robot. He's going to blow a game here. People are going to be flabbergasted.
I don't know. Brad Lidge had a season where he didn't allow a blown save.
Yeah.
It's possible. He's what makes it so interesting to me is he's definitely a guy that I think a lot of people could have seen a blow up maybe coming, like, okay, well, he's really good, but, you know, he's kind of all arms and legs. There's maybe a little bit of an unpredictability to him. So you think at some point the Brewers might want to trade him, or they might want to, you know, because his RB price tag is going to go up and up, and you just can't imagine he's going to be this good for a sustained period of time. You know, I'm still waiting for that point in time. He did give up some home runs over the last couple of years that maybe were a small red flag. But he doesn't even do that anymore. Like he's different now.
When he was giving up those home runs, they were sitting on his fastball and hitting that out. Then he started throwing more sliders. Then he said, "Well, that's not enough. Let me start throwing a changeup too."
Changeup, right?
And so he's a different guy now. You know, two things have happened in his evolvement to what he's doing now. Two changes were made that have been huge for him. One, what I just said, he became a pitcher, not a thrower. And the other is they committed to him in a true closer's role. You know, he had been a multi-inning guy for years. He would pitch a two-inning save or a two-inning setup to another guy when they had Corey Knebel and Jeremy Jeffress. And then he wouldn't be able to pitch again for three days, you know, because of the multi-inning. Now they just use him strictly in one inning, the ninth inning, most of the time. You know, he had a seven-pitch inning in Colorado, and then they took him out, and Devin Williams lost the game in extra innings. And people said, well, why didn't Hader go back out there? And we asked counsel about it, and he said, no, we're not worried about his pitches. It's one inning, and he's out, and that's the way we're going to use him. And the next night, they needed him to save the game, and he did, and he would not have been available if they used him two innings the night before. So the way he pitches and the way he's being used have made him more valuable than ever.
Yes, I know that is a sense of consternation for some fans that, you know, seven pitches, why not go out in the extras when the runner's already at second? Like, put your strikeout guy out there.
Right.
But this is what they're committed to. And you know, even though I sometimes wonder if a second inning would be appropriate or allowable, you cannot argue with the results. They've been really, really, really good. So Brewers, I'm sure, are going to continue along this path. Kind of along these lines, Tom, the All-Stars get announced on Sunday, I believe, the reserves. Brewers do not have any finalists for the starting positions, which was not a surprise to me whatsoever. But who do you think goes here? I don't know how much you pay attention to what's going on around the rest of the National League. Certainly, all the pitchers we've just mentioned, Burns, Woodruff, Peralta, Hader, are candidates here. Narvaez, I suppose, is catcher. Do you have any sense of...
Yeah, Narvaez would be probably the only position player who might be added through the player vote or manager's extra players, because he is having pretty as good as any catcher is having a season in the National League. But you know, there's some really good guys that are on the ballot as finalists too. So we'll see if that happens. But you know, they have three starting pitchers who are going to get looks: Woodruff, Peralta, and Burns. And then Hader's just a lock. You know, he might as well book his flight to Colorado. You know, he's one of a kind. Him and Alex Reyes are the only closers in the major leagues that haven't blown a save. And Reyes has gotten scant few opportunities for the Cardinals. How about their slippage? I mean, it is panic town in St. Louis right now. They are backing up as bad as they've ever backed up. They were in first place a couple of weeks ago. Now they're like eight out.
Yeah, it was like May 24th or something. I was talking to Todd about it, how they were like two or three games up, too. It wasn't just a half-game lead.
They were separating themselves, and they barely won a game since. So Alex Reyes isn't getting a whole lot of save opportunities now, but Hader's definitely going to be there. And so we'll see. You know, I think the Brewers secretly wouldn't mind a lot of guys getting rest that week, you know.
Yeah, and Narvaez had another home run Sunday, the go-ahead RBI on Saturday, like I mentioned. He doesn't hit a lot of home runs, so I don't know how high his profile has risen necessarily nationally, but that trade for him is looking pretty good.
Yeah, how about the at-bats he's been having? He had a 14-pitch at-bat in Colorado in which he finally made an out, so he didn't get rewarded, but he's had some... That sacrifice fly that broke the tie the other day, it was like a 10 or 11 pitch at bat. Yesterday, he had a long at bat and hit a home run. You're not old enough, and very few listeners are probably old enough to remember a guy named Luke Appling. But
Hall of Famer.
Yeah, but he was known for fouling off pitches until he got one he could hit, and then seemingly at will. I mean, he could just literally foul a pitch off if he didn't like it. And Narvaez is like that sometimes. He had a bat the other day where he fouled off four straight 3-2 pitches, And then it was either the sacrifice fly at bat or not, you know, some other bat. But he has had some monster at bats, and those do two things. If it has a positive result, there's obviously that, but it also wears the pitcher down, and sometimes the guy behind you crushes one. You know what? Because you've just gassed the pitcher, and it gets frustrating for the pitcher when a guy keeps fouling off 3-2 pitches.
Yeah, he's been pretty good. Brewers get credit for a really under-the-radar trade to bring him in for the 2020 season, and then for sticking with him because 2020 was a struggle, and here he is, one of their most effective and consistent hitters, like you said, really wearing pitchers out, great at bats. He's been pretty special this year. Anything else you want to throw in, Tom, before I let you go?
No, I think that's it. It's going to be a important couple of weeks here into the break. No more off days. A road trip to Pittsburgh and New York. They're going to face some good pitching in New York, and then come back for that. Another series with Cincinnati, who has played them very tough. So they've got some separation now. Let's see if they can keep it going into the break, and then they'll feel pretty good about themselves. You know what? So it's we knew playing 33 games in 34 days was going to be tough. So let's they've slogged through over half of it now, and let's see how they do the rest of the way. They've had two bad losing streaks and then pulled right back out of them into winning streaks. So they get some commendation for that. The 162 game season is a roller coaster, and it's kind of been for them. But to their credit, a couple of times where it's looked bad, they've managed to pull themselves together and get going in the right direction. They finally have their run differential with a plus mark in front
I
of
know, it's been a long struggle.
it.
It's true. And the Brewers were able to beat up on some pretty bad teams here in this stretch, but it gets a little tougher, like you mentioned. The Cubs, of course, for 3 games. They go to Pittsburgh, but then it's New York and Cincinnati before the All-Star break. Things will get kind of interesting. Tom Hauderkort will be there. He writes for the Journal Sentinel. JSOnline.com is where you can find all his coverage of the Milwaukee Brewers. He and Todd Rosiak do a phenomenal job. Thanks for joining us, Tom. We will chat with you again very soon.
Thanks, JR.
Find us on Stitcher, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. Leave us a rating and review. Find us on Twitter. He's at Hauderkort. I'm at JR Radcliffe. We will chat with you again next week. Thank you.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.